I'm Ian.
And I'm Ryan.
Our topic is the European-American argument for expansion. Due to the abundant land, many job opportunities, European settlers were able to have large families. The colonies also experienced a swell in immigration, and with the growing population, made land scarce. In the 18th century, colonial land equaled wealth and money, so it was vital to own land. As land became less available, settlers traveled westward.
It is very true that lands of late are becoming more valuable, but what rises their value? It is not entirely owing to the industry and labor by the white people and their cultivation and improvement. Had they not come among you, these lands would have been no use to you any further than to maintain you. The value of land is no more than its worth in money. Governor of Pennsylvania, July 7, 1742.
According to the governor, how one uses their land and makes a profit determines the value of the land. For example, a small plantation is worth more than a large plot of unused land. Colonists considered the natives' land unused, so taking it was acceptable.
This is Patrick.
I'm Rob.
Our topic is the Native American argument against expansion. The Iroquois, who once dominated the area of present-day New York, were too weak to stop the westward colonial movement in the mid-1700s. Because of diseases brought by the Europeans. Also, wars over trade weakened their formerly strong military power. This made them unable to stop the movement.
We know our lands are now become more valuable. The white people think we do not know their value, but we are sensible that the land is everlasting, and the few goods we receive for it are soon worn out and gone. Besides, we are not well treated with respect to the land still unsold by us. Your daily people settle on these lands and spoil our hunting. Your horses and cows have eaten the grass our deer used to feed on. Ken Asatego, Iroquois leader, July.
So thinks that it's unacceptable for Indians to accept goods from the fur land because the goods are gone and worn out soon after they get them. In turn, this ruins the hunting of the animals which the Native Americans need to survive.
I'm Marissa.
I'm Abby.
And our topic is Sinners and the Great Awakening. The Great Awakening was a revival of religious feeling designed to renew religious enthusiasm and commitment. Ministers like John Edwards wanted to preach to large audiences about God in the 1730s and 1740s so religion could spread faster to more people. They did these sermons to bring the Puritan religion back to focus rather than commercialism because it was the original reason they came to the colonies.
O sinner, consider the fearful danger you are in. It is a great furnace of wrath, a wide and bottomless pit, full of the fire of the wrath that you are held over in the hand of that God, whose wrath is provoked and incensed as much against you as against many of the damned in hell. You hang by a slender thread. Jonathan Edwards, Sinners of the Hand and of an Angry God speech.
Edward was trying to scare American colonists in this excerpt by saying that if they don't listen to this sermon and stop sinning, then they will go to hell. Edwards was one of the most influential ministers during the Great Awakening.
I'm Derek.
I'm Bernie.
Our topic is personal faith in the Great Awakening. When George Whitefield became popular, the purpose of the Great Awakening shifted from reviving the people's religious worship to more independent worshiping, or reaching God without the aid of a minister.
The generality of preachers talk of an unknown, unfelt Christ, and the reason why congregations have been so dead is because dead men preach them. George Whitefield.
Around this time, the Baptist and Methodist churches drew new followers because they targeted people of the lower and middle class, empowering them to act on their faith and not rely on ministers.